In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, on God, Amen.
Congratulations, Christ is risen, truly He is risen. And we have completed, as you know, the journey of the 7 weeks of the Great Lent and continued with the journey of the 7 days, as Abuna told us last night, of the Passions with our Lord Jesus Christ during Holy Week. And now we are at the beginning of the glorious journey of the 7 weeks of the Pentecost. And in the readings of the Holy 50 days after the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord reveals to each one of us Himself directly. And we want to see what the Lord is revealing to us during these 50 days and how we can benefit from His revelation to us. As you know, the Lord revealed Himself to the disciples after His resurrection. And He said to them, "Peace be with you." And the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. He removed from them the fear, and the disciples were glad. And may the Lord remove the fear from my life and from my heart, so that I also may, like them, be glad in the Lord. And last week He revealed Himself to them a second time with Thomas with them, and He removed the doubt from the disciples and increased their faith. And may the Lord also increase our faith and remove the doubt from our hearts and from our minds. Today, as we heard, the Lord reveals Himself as the bread of life who can feed our spiritual hunger. God willing, next week we will see that the Lord also reveals Himself as the water of life and the source of living water who quenches our spiritual thirst. The week after that, the Lord reveals Himself as the true light who enlightens our hearts and our minds. And the week after that, God willing, the Lord again reveals Himself as the way, the truth, and the life. And He says, "I am the I am. He is everything to me. And without Him, I am empty and I am dead. And with Him and in Him and with Him in me, I am full and I am alive." In the resurrection, we see the Lord as truly, as He said, is the resurrection and the life. And this is very important for us to remind ourselves of this revelation that He is the resurrection and the life, meaning that there is no life for me without Him, meaning that there is no life for me without abiding in Him, and there is no life for me without Him abiding in me. No life without Him, no life without me being in Him, in His arms, which are open to take me in His care, in His light, in His house. And no life without Him being in me to cleanse me, to protect me, to forgive me, to lead me, to give me understanding, to give me His power of His resurrection, and to give me life. And this is perhaps the most important revelation, that I cannot live without Him. But what if I'm already dead? What if I am dead in my sins? Is there hope for me as a sinner? Definitely, He cares for me, and He came for me. He came to give me life. That's why the Lord didn't just say, "I am the life." He said, "I am the resurrection," meaning I could take you from death to life. "I am the resurrection and the life." The Lord insisted to say, "I am the resurrection and the life," because resurrection means that even if I am dead, He can give me life. So there is actually great hope for me, even when I fall in sin to the point of death. He is the resurrection, not only the life, but He is the only one who can bring me back to life. And if, God forbid, someone has a heart attack, you may have seen this on TV or in the movies, the doctors take the patient and perform CPR, or cardiopulmonary resuscitation, to keep the patient who is almost dead to keep the patient alive when they are at the point of death. And actually, our Lord Jesus Christ does this all the time. He is the expert in resuscitation. He is the expert who gives life to those who are dead. If we come back to him to be healed, if we come back to him to be forgiven, we come back to him to be saved, to be rescued, to be resuscitated. But we need to come back to him to be given life. And of course, we need to stay and abide in him to remain alive. And this is a very important point, because forgiveness is available to me, salvation is open to me. Even if I am defeated by sin, even if I'm at the point of death, if I'm weak, if I've fallen, there is spiritual CPR waiting for me. He can give life to those who are dead. He is the resurrection, but I have to come to him. I have to want life, I have to choose life, I have to be coming back to him to be given life again. So if I'm sinning out of weakness, there is a desire to be saved, there's hope, he will give me life. This is very dangerous though if I'm sinning out of stubbornness and insisting that my sin is the right way. If I'm refusing to repent, this would be a very dangerous state to stay in, because effectively if I remain in that state to my last breath, then I've denied myself salvation by sinning against the Holy Spirit and refusing to repent. If I'm dying but refuse to come to see the good doctor, how will he revive me? He's not going to force himself upon me. He's not going to force treatment upon me. But if I admit that I have sinned and make an effort to return, to repent, he will give me the healing, the forgiveness, the life. And Christ again reveals himself as the resurrection and the life. How could I benefit from this resurrection unless I repent and confess that he may give me life? And he does give life to those who are dead, and of course, he is the source of life to those who are alive. This brings us back to today's readings, where Christ reveals himself as the bread of life. Just like for my physical body, I need to feed it, sustain it regularly of physical bread, or else my physical body would die. The same with my spirit. If I do not feed my spirit regularly with spiritual bread, my spirit would die. And now, in this day and age especially, I have become an expert in feeding and caring for my body. There are countless resources, books and CDs and shows and movies and experts who tell you how to care for your body nutritionally, exercise. And we have become experts in taking care of our body. And this is good. There's nothing wrong with that, but it has to be balanced. I am also an expert in feeding my mind, nourishing my intellect, taking good care of my mental health. I study, I read, I research, I have knowledge and skills, I train my mind, and again, of course, this is good. There's nothing wrong with studying and working, and we have to labor, but again, it has to be balanced, because I am not always as good at feeding and nourishing my spirit and taking good care of my spiritual well-being. Why? Why do I care about my body so much, about my mind so much, and neglect my spirit? It's easy to take care of my body. When I feel hungry, I eat. Easy to take care of my mind. I've been trained to go to school, to study, to work, to research, to learn. What about my spirit? Which is more important? The Lord has given us one book to nourish our spirit. And we regularly read books written by men, and we can learn a lot. But do we regularly read of his one book to nourish our spirit? The Lord has given us one body to nourish our spirit. And we regularly eat other food, but do we regularly eat of the living bread of his own body? My spirit also feels hungry, starving at the point of death, but ignore it, neglect it, starve it. It's fine to take care of my body and mind, but I shouldn't overdo it at the expense of my spirit. Which is more important to nourish, my body or my spirit? My body will only benefit me here on earth for a limited number of years. And even if I've taken the best care of my body, feeding it the best food, giving it the best care, then what? Whether I like it or not, I have to take off this tent and am buried in the dust. However, my spirit benefits me here on earth and continues with me eternally. And God created us to be eternal. Whether I accept it or not, we will live and exist forever. The question is, where will we exist forever? So if I want to really live, I do have to also feed my spirit. I have to nourish my spirit with the true bread of life. I have to partake regularly of the Holy Communion. And the church forefathers, as you all know, teach us that it is very dangerous to go for more than 30 or 40 days without confession and communion. And of course, there's no point coming to communion without repenting and confessing. We cannot benefit from the power of the resurrection unless we come in humility, confessing our sins. And there's no point to insist or to convince myself that I have no sin, because we all have sinned. We all need forgiveness. There's no shame in going to a doctor. There's no shame in receiving treatment. The only shame is denying yourself in the treatment that you need. And many of us fall into this trap where we say, I can't confess. I'm ashamed of what will the Father think of me. The priest is not here to judge you. It's actually the opposite. The priest is here as a witness that you have been freed. He is here to help. He is God's servant who has been licensed by God to perform the CPR. He is licensed by God to give me freedom from the slavery of sin that leads to death. And once I have come back to the Lord in repentance and confession, I can eat freely of the bread of life, that my spirit may soar, that I may truly be alive, not alive only in the body, but more importantly, that my spirit is vibrant and alive. Then and only then can I truly benefit from the power of the Lord's resurrection, when I take him, that he may abide in me and that I may abide in him. And at that point, it really doesn't matter what's going on around me, whether it's raining, whether it's thunder, I'm full of joy. Whether I'm persecuted or praised, I'm full of joy. Whether I'm praised or insulted, I'm full of joy. Why? Am I crazy? No, I'm alive. Christ is risen and has given me a glorious life. I would be crazy not to taste of the sweetness of life with him and life in him and him in me. Glory be to God forever. Amen.
Shut up.